This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Finding Your Bliss with host Judy Liebrack, heard every Saturday at 1 p.m. on Zoomer Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Finding Your Bliss, the show that helps you find and follow your bliss. I'm Judy Liebrack, and today I'm joined by two inspiring women who stepped away from the corporate world to create more meaningful, fulfilling paths as entrepreneurs. First, we'll meet Cheryl Sutherland, speaker, workshop facilitator, and founder of Please Notes Goods. Then later on in the program, we'll meet Susie Garia, personal trainer, in perimenopause, menopause, and beyond. She's a strength coach and founder of Her Strength Protocol. But first, let me tell you a little bit more about Cheryl Sutherland. As a confidence and mindset motivational speaker, workshop facilitator, and founder of Please Notes Goods, Cheryl Sutherland is passionate about helping others build confidence and enhance their well-being through the personal practice of journaling. After transforming her own life through mindset work, she now empowers others to do the same. Cheryl's authenticity and openness create a safe space for self-discovery and growth. This all began after she was feeling restless and unfulfilled in her corporate career. Cheryl spent over 10,000 hours studying personal development, coaching, and mindset psychology. She discovered that true leadership begins within, with clarity, confidence, and consistent inner work. Cheryl's mission is to inspire others to unlock their potential and confidently design lives filled with purpose and fulfillment. Known for delivering keynotes, panels, and workshops, Cheryl is the best. Her engaging, energetic style and actionable frameworks leave audience feeling seen, empowered, and ready to take bold action. In 2015, Cheryl launched Please Notes with a single product, affirmation sticky notes. You know, the original sticky note, it's just plain, but she changed it up. We're going to find out all about that. And since then, the brand has really expanded globally, touching the lives of thousands through journals and planners, courses and workshops that make personal growth accessible and transformational. Her work's been featured in Forbes, InStyle, Huffington Post, Fast Company, Thrive Global, and Fox LA. So we're going to hear all about the Please Note, Cheryl's lifestyle brand of inspirational, affirmation-filled goods for women that just allows you to rediscover or discover what you're passionate about. Create a plan to make it happen. There's water bottles now. There's pens. There's even coloring books for children. It's all using the recycled paper, 10% of proceeds given back to the organizations within the community. Cheryl resides between Toronto, Ontario, and LA, California. She's a real Finding Your Bliss person. Cheryl Sutherland, well, congratulations on all of this and welcome to Finding Your Bliss.
Thank you so much. It's always so fun to be able to look back, especially on those hard days, and say, no, this is who I am and this is what I've done and the impact that I've created. And so thank you for reading all of that. And thank you for having me here.
Of course. So great to have you here. So as we discussed in the virtual green room, I know you through Erikpreneur and Leslie Gottlieb. And of course, I see you many Monday mornings for Monday morning meditation. And I'm so honored because you're such a pro and such a guru in all of this. And I've been facilitating these Monday morning meetings and meditations, and it's been wonderful. And you've given me some great feedback. You're so good at this, Cheryl. You really had an epiphany at age 23, which is pretty young to have an epiphany in one's life and career. Can you tell us more about that epiphany that you had at age 22 and about your brainchild, Please Notes, and how it all evolved after you had this aha moment?
So it's interesting. I am the last of three amazing children, and my parents are actually from St. Vincent and the Grenadines. So what their version of success looked like was stability, making sure you had financial stability, having a good job, having a good education, making sure that those essentials are taken care of. And I'm very lucky and I feel very privileged to say that I was able to achieve that at quite a young age because of the things that they instilled into me. And then, of course, the way that they set myself up. And It's funny when you reach that and you're always like, well, when I get this, I'll be happy. And then I got that and I was like, okay, well, now what? And that same sorts of like emptiness or just understanding that I was terribly unhappy. So what am I to do now? And of course, you know, the universe does what she does and delivered me not only amazing people, but ones that were very much focused and in getting into this personal growth space. And so that was my next big leap of like, okay, well, how do I make more money? Was the reason that I got into it. But I actually discovered so much more. I discovered the way that I was speaking to myself and also that that wasn't actually me. That was a set of conversations of habits that were instilled in me. And it felt like it just made more sense for me to not only move through that, but recreate a lot of what success could look like for my family, for my friends, for the people around me now that we've achieved this. Even being able to take a look at what Maslow's hierarchy was and saying, okay, I've achieved this. Now what's next? And feeling confident to achieve more.
Awesome. So 10,000 hours you've done.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering, who are some of the gurus that really paved the way or that you really took a deep dive into their work?
I feel like depending on what part of your life you're at, you will flip in between. I've had the opportunity to work with Les Brown, with Bob Proctor, with Michael Bernard Beckwith. I actually went to school for spiritual psychology at University of Santa Monica, which is the only place in the world that teaches this. And so I did a master's level program there. And that informed not only the way that I communicate, the way that I build courses, but also a lot of the formulas and the work that I put into the content that I create into the journals and planners as well, too.
Well, what about Brené Brown?
I'm always a huge fan of her work around like grief and shame and guilt and making sure that we're instilling a lot of those conversations in our younger generation. But I would have to say even like Gabrielle Bernstein, her conversations around manifestation have always been very guided, very grounded. And then also I feel very timely for right now where we, especially for my age, women are looking to create more.
When are you writing a book?
So I've had the name already set up from time, and it's The Diaries of an Eternal Optimist. And I feel like that's probably going to be something that happens probably like when I turn 50, I think that'll be a juicy age. You know, you've got enough to like be able to look back and say, look at what I've created, but then also feel like you've gotten to a certain point in your journey. But I mean, who knows? It could be tomorrow. Thanks to AI.
I hope you come back on the show when the book happens and we can talk all about it. What makes you an optimist?
What makes me an optimist? I think it was essentially a decision and the understanding internally that I've truly believed that everybody is always doing the best they can with what they have. And when you make that decision, it makes things a lot easier for you to not only move through things, but then also for you to deal with people that are not in alignment with you, or perhaps feel like they don't have your best interest in heart. Even if they don't, like they're doing what they're doing based on the things that they've learned and the habits that they've picked up. And we all essentially started in the same place. And we all have our own journeys to growth, to learning, our own lessons that we are here to do. So if we are coming from that space of like, everything is always working out for me, everybody's doing the best that they can with what they have, and that ultimately that everything is sorted, then it just makes things a lot easier for you to risk and go after the things you really want.
You say you've always been in love with possibility. So it makes sense that you were drawn to this personal growth field. I guess just tell us about all of the things that you're doing, the please notes and what they are and how this all started. Because I know this led to the Journal Juice workbook and your affirmation pens, and which I'm very fascinated by the way, and your affirmation cards. Like there's so many things. You have to check out Cheryl's website, which is
pleasenotes.com. Please as in please and thank you. Notes as in notes of love.
Tell us about pleasenotes.com, because that's where it all started with these little sticky notes, but with a twist. Mm-hmm. What was it?
So essentially, when I was deciding to start my company, I was like, I want something that feels impactful for me, but then I also want something that helps people see themselves the way that I see myself, or the way that other people that care about you see you. Even with all the personal growth magic that I've done, like even moving to California to take this on at a deeper level, it was so easy to slip back into old habits of thought. So I'm like, how do I make it easy? How do I make it fun for people to stay in this space or be reminded? And then my first thought was sticky notes. Like, what if I surround myself with them? And so the first iteration had a different affirmation on every single page, and then also had a different image. But people love them so much that they would not use them. I'm like, please, this isn't going to work if you don't buy more stickies. And so we ended up changing it. And then from there, I didn't move to California to sell sticky notes. So start off with the sticky notes. And then I was like, I want an additional product to go with the sticky notes. And originally it was like, I need something that people could use the sticky notes in so I could sell more. And that was when I actually created my first journal. So the what is now known as the Clarity Guided Journal. And it just kept going from there. So this is one. So the ones with the Clarity Journal say, I'm capable of wondrous things on the front. While our gratitude ones say, I'm exactly where I need to be. They all have the different little affirmations on the spine as well. And then they all come with a 60-minute workshop to help you get started or restarted, depending on where you're at.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And then speaking to the whole environment. And so it was like one thing. And I'm like, okay, well, what is a complement to this? Or what is another way that I can start working things into people's lives in an easy way? So from there, we have like the notepads and the affirmation cards and then the affirmation pens, just creating this whole environment. And then of course we have our workshops and our subscription services. So all of these things are ready for somebody to dip in and dip in a real solid way so that they can be supported with their change.
That's so great. You even have an affirmation card deck for kids to help build confidence and emotional skills. You have a coloring book now for kids. Tell us about that. That's a new item.
Yeah, the coloring book is so fun. And I really wanted kids to be able to see themselves, be represented. We've got exercises and then the actual affirmations with images and stuff like that too. But we've got kids with different body types and different family structures. We've got kids with different disabilities. You can see there's kids with different racial and religious background. But my whole thing is I wanted kids to be able to not only see themselves, but then also learn that emotional regulation piece. Like, how do I calm down when I need to calm down? How do I be brave when I need to be brave? And really start setting these kids up for success in situations where their parents aren't around, in situations where they're being not bullied, but in order to fit in, you might do something that feels compromising to you, but this will help you know, like, no, it's okay for me to stand out. It's okay for me to be different. It's okay for me to be myself. And essentially our whole kids line, including the stuff for teen girls, are things that I wish I had growing up. And then is reflective of a lot of experiences that I know a lot of my colleagues share in wanting to know, like, that they can have boundaries, they could say no to things, that they could believe in nice. Themselves and like own their own gifts and talents too.
We all need that. So from children to teens to adults of all ages, like, you're helping empower us. It's so amazing. I also am a huge believer in keeping a gratitude journal, but you've made it much more doable with your gratitude, but make it cute notepad.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about that?
So that one's one of the new ones. It's basically created for people that want to start their day off with gratitude. So there's this little pop at the top, an easy reminder of like, today I'm grateful for the internet because look at me, I'm able to do my work, or I'm grateful for my apartment because I just love the way that it's designed, whatever it is. And then that feeling will carry you through to the rest of your day. As you know, when it comes to feeling good about yourself or even manifesting, if we're leaning into that, the higher your vibration, the easier it is for you to receive the things that you want, see the opportunities, and believe you can have the things that you desire. And so if there's additional ways that we could raise that vibration, then I'm all for it.
I also love planners, but I've never quite figured out how to use them. So I was very excited when I read your blog post, How to Use a Planner Without It Running Your Life.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? And what did you mean by that? And how do you use your planner as a flexible guide rather than a fixed schedule? How can you make planner work for you?
So I have also had a huge block about having a planner for years. And then finally, when I was ready to do it, I'm like, this is what I want. I want something that I can play with, something that's flexible, something that doesn't make me feel so restricted. Because oftentimes when it comes to journaling or using a planner, one of the top reasons that people don't like to use it or stop using it is they feel like they've done something wrong. So one of the big components is making sure that people know that there is no wrong way to use this planner. It's also undated to make it easy for people to start and stop whenever they'd like to. And then even just the way that the pages are laid out, it's laid out by day. It's not laid out by hour. It's more about you being able to see and recognize that you're doing the things that you say that you're going to do. The big difference, or like the big impactful moment that people get to have. So not only are you creating evidence that you're doing a good job, you're making sure that you can be proud of yourself every single day. So again, especially on those hard days, you look back and you're like, no, look, there's progress in black and white.
I did.
Yeah.
That's so cool. What did you mean when you said building in space before you need it? creating in space. It's so funny because I'm a person who needs to create more space in my life and in every way. So that line really resonated. What did you mean by that?
Yeah. So the thing is with our lives is we have to create space for play. We have to create space for the universe to come in and support us. If we have every locked in every hour of the day, we don't create the space to let good things happen to us. So what if we created more space for the universe to come in, for play to come in, for happenstance circumstances to come in where you might get connected to this right person that you didn't know could advance your career or help you towards your goals or just perhaps even be your soulmate? Who knows? And in doing so, it just makes your life a lot easier too.
That's really fabulous. You also do workshops. Mm. And I'm just wondering if you can tell us about your signature workshops and how you use journaling in them to help audiences feel seen, empowered, and really aligned in their careers and in their personal lives. Mm. What do you do in these workshops?
Well, I can't tell you everything. You'll just have to attend. But one of the ways that I love to structure mine is there's a little bit of instruction. So of course, I'm going to teach you more about the subject. Let's say, for example, our gratitude one. Teaching you about gratitude, the difference between gratitude and appreciation, how practicing gratitude actually changes your life in all four areas. So physical, spiritual, emotional, and then of course, financially, right? And relationships, all those different things. Because if you don't know how it changes you, then why would I actually do it? What is the incentive to do this other than, you know, people have told me it's good for me. Then we get into the real stuff because it doesn't matter what I say to you, it matters what you experience. When you go through and you do that live prompting of, oh, this is, I'll ask a question and then give you 5 minutes or 10 minutes to write through your answers. That's where the learning happens. And then from there, we go into the sharing because it could be that you had this epiphany that is going to change this person's life and vice versa. But I also want to say that they also lift off of each other. They build on each other as well too. Mm-hmm. And it just elevates everybody in the space. So we tend to do like 3 or 4 settings of those. And then afterwards, okay, now that you've done this, how do you make this happen on a consistent basis? Making sure that my workshops, you're not coming and saying, oh my gosh, that was amazing. And then you go back to your day. You're like, I really have all the tools to make this a consistent habit that is going to allow me to become the person that I've always wanted to become.
Great. Also, your products are so beautiful. I'm going to definitely get some after this. And I encourage you all, this is a great Mother's Day gift. This is a great birthday gift for a friend or a relative. This is obviously great for Christmas for so many different reasons. But what a beautiful thing to give to someone you love or to someone you work with or someone that is a good friend in your life just to help them elevate and feel better and more empowered from children to teens to adults. I think it's amazing.
But you're getting them for somebody you love because you love them. So how often are you getting something for yourself? Because you should be loving yourself in the same way too.
So true what you just said. That's so impactful. Like I hope everyone heard that we buy all these things for people we love, but self-care begins with yourself, right? Mm-hmm. And it's so, so important. Such great advice and great stuff. There's a question that we ask everyone at the end of the show. Of course, we're going to ask it to you. What is bliss for Cheryl Sutherland?
I kind of put it all into one word and it feels like flow. And flow is just this level of understanding that like everything is already working out. Everything's already taken care of. Your eyes are closed. You're floating out. You don't have to look at anything. Everything is handled and you get to just be in this space of being, of receiving this ease, this joy, this feeling of being taken care of. That is what flow is to me.
That's beautiful. We talk off the top about meditation. Mm. Do you meditate?
That is something that I do every day. Yes.
Wow. Yeah. What is the best way for people to contact you, order Please Notes goods, and connect with you on social media?
So for social media, if you want to actually like connect with me, I would say LinkedIn is fantastic. If you're looking to book me for a workshop, I do private workshops as well too. Or if you want me to come on amazing podcasts like this. And then if you want to see the breadth of some of the things that I do, definitely for product wise, you're going to want to check me out on Instagram. And I'm on there as Please Notes Goods. And then yeah, those are my 2 favorite places. And then otherwise, if you were wanting to check out more stuff, oh my gosh, www.pleasenotes.com.
That's amazing. Cheryl, it's been so delightful to actually talk to you today because I know we see each other on Zoom, but this has been really lovely to have you on the show. It's been such an honor to have you here.
Oh, this has been so fun. Thank you so much for inviting me. And I'm so excited to see it come out and the way people receive it and the magic that they're going to create as well too.
Me too. I can't wait. We're going to go on a short commercial break with more of Finding Your Bliss when we come back in a moment.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by CREATE, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
CREATE is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. CREATE is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, CREATE is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. CREATE has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? CREATE Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about CREATE Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
Hi, everyone. We are back, and this is Finding Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio, AM 740. And we're now joined by Susie Garia, perimenopause, menopause, and beyond strength coach, certified master personal trainer, pain-free performance specialist, level one boxing coach with 18 years of training experience all across Australia and Canada. Susie is also the founder of Her Strength Protocol. What a great name. But before I tell you all about that, let me tell you a little bit more about Susie. She was a former government policy analyst with 13 years experience in both Australia and Canada. And Susie brings analytical rigor and 18 years of training experience to her work coaching professional women through perimenopause, menopause, and beyond. And her strength protocol is evidence-based. It's specific and built for women who are really ready to build real lasting strength. She enrolled in personal training school, became qualified, and embarked on a coaching journey that ultimately led to the founding of Her Strength Protocol. And suddenly this mission to share the message on why muscle matters for women in midlife. Her credentials include certified master personal trainer, Australia Institute of Fitness, pain-free performance specialist, pain-free performance, level one boxing coach, Australian combat exercise, and 18 years of training experience and coaching experience all across Australia and Canada. Susie Gary, I love all the awesome work you're doing on this planet and welcome to Finding Your Bliss.
Thank you, Judy. Thank you so much for the beautiful introduction.
So I got to understand this. For 13 years, you built a career in government policy, as you describe, but every morning before work, you were in the gym. Strength training wasn't just a hobby. It was the foundation that everything was built on. And you say that nearly 18 years of consistent training taught you what works, what doesn't, and what changes when your hormones change completely. What was the moment where you knew that you needed to change your career and follow your passion and do full time the thing that you were doing every morning before work? Can you tell us more?
Sure. So like many of my peers, I'm 38 now. Like many of my peers, I went to school, was told I should go to university, which I did. I picked a career, which was social policy to start off with, which I loved at the beginning. I loved the aspects of transformation. I loved being a part of driving change forward. I loved solving complex problems. And so that was my career for probably a good 8 to 9 years before I started to think about what the next chapter might be and what that might look like, which was partly informed by living here in Toronto. So I moved here when I was 27. And what I saw around me were a lot of people pursuing their passions. So I went from an environment where a lot of people worked a 9 to 5, and that was kind of the status quo. And when I came to Toronto, I was surrounded by people who were working a 9 to 5, but they were also doing something else on the side, or they were already running their own businesses. They were finding a way to pursue their passion. So I got really inspired by that, and that moment got me thinking, well, what's my passion? What's that next chapter going to look like for me? So that was the seed that was initially planted. So the seed that had been planted here, coupled with the growing disconnect, led me into a couple of years of soul searching. And one day I was training in the park. So this was during the lockdowns, and I was exercising in the park as I was doing every morning. Mm. And someone approached me and asked me, "What are you training for? I see you here every day. What are you training for? Like, what are you doing?" And I said, "I'm just training to stay well. I'm not training. I don't have any competitions coming up. I'm just training to stay healthy." And he said, he's a friend now, but he said, "You should be a trainer. You should be a personal trainer. I think you'd be great." And that was really when the penny dropped. So I had been looking too far afield for what that next thing was going to be. I was thinking, am I going to be a consultant? Is it going to be something related to my current work? And it was actually something that was central to my lifestyle then, which was health and fitness.
Wow. What do you love about strength training personally? Not teaching it, not helping other people, just you personally getting up every morning before work long ago just to strength train. What was it about strength training that sort of was it became a passion?
Yeah, I love the way it makes me feel. I feel capable. I feel strong. I feel like I can take on the challenges that I am ready for when they come. I think strength training at its core as well helps me and others to build a level of resilience. When you have to do something that you don't think is possible or you previously thought wasn't possible and you overcome that milestone, so, you know, lifting a 40-pound dumbbell overhead, when you overcome those milestones, there's a sense of accomplishment. And there's a sense of capability that I think transfer through to your everyday life. So you're teaching yourself bit by bit that actually I can.
I can do this. That's so fantastic. So you made the decision to leave the government to build Her Strength Protocol. And so really what you did was you brought both worlds with you, which is so cool. The analytical rigor of a policy career and the lived experience of a woman who was trained through every season of her life, to use your words. Before you tell us about how you coach women through perimenopause, I've been through all of them, by the way, I'm quite a bit older than you, perimenopause, menopause, and beyond. It's so brave of you. And just at this moment, I just want to say I'm wishing you so much success with it. How do you actually coach women in these different groups of perimenopause, menopause, and beyond? How would you describe your own unique brand of coaching women to help them understand their bodies, build real strength, and feel like themselves again?
So I think to preface how I coach, I want to talk a little bit about what we know now about women in perimenopause and menopause. So 20, 25 years ago, we didn't have the amount and detail of information that we have now in 2026 about what happens to women's bodies during perimenopause and menopause. Just a short while ago, we characterized menopause as a period that was almost out of sight and out of mind as it related to really understanding what was happening at that time. Yes. I know my mother, who's only in her 60s, suffered in silence, you know, through menopause. Back then, we didn't really talk about why the symptoms were presenting in the way that they do. We didn't talk about what we could do about it. We just knew that women turned 40 and then there was a period where they developed menopause rage and they became irrational and they became, you know, unhinged, and we kind of just pushed them over to the side to deal with it alone. So that's kind of the historical context. And what we know now is that perimenopause and menopause are scientifically the end of the female reproductive cycle. But we know that it's almost akin to a second puberty where we go through a massive yes. hormonal shift. Yes. And with that hormonal shift comes both physiological, metabolic, and neurological changes that are huge. They fundamentally change the way that we feel and how our bodies operate. And so with that context, what I wanted to do with Her Strength Protocol is to bring forward an evidence-informed program for supporting women during this time period. So I'm in the strength patch. The reality is that women need much more integrated care during this time. So I would say at the very least, we would want to look at nutrition.
Yes.
Strength training.
So I know strength training is at the forefront of all this. Is cardio still very important? What do you suggest in terms of cardio in addition to your 2 days of strength training for women?
Sure. I think cardio is a really broad term and we understand it in different ways. I think generally, though, we understand cardio to be long bouts of running, swimming, etc.
Yes.
Cardio is really important for cardiovascular health and for our heart health. We know that heart disease, surprisingly, is one of the biggest causes of death for women. Yes. So cardio has its place, but in perimenopause and menopause, the long endurance running becomes somewhat less beneficial. For a couple of reasons. One is that it takes away, in many cases, for the ability to direct energy and effort towards strength training.
Right.
But we also know that from the perspective of both cortisol, which is not bad, but the amount of cortisol that we release when we are in a 20K run or a 10-20K run, coupled with the effects on our muscles, which is really inhibiting their ability to build and grow, that we should be focused on shorter bursts of cardio. So short bursts, high intensity, explosive, that really is going to trigger and support muscle development.
Yes. You know, I'm picturing what happens when people come to your studio. And I know there's many different things. You offer an online 12-week strength program. You do personal one-on-one training for women who are navigating all of this menopause. And you do small group strength coaching for two, which is semi-private training, which is great because it's affordable. You can do it with a friend. It could be a fun thing. So what would happen? Somebody walks into your studio and what would the basic workout look like?
So I would invite you to come into the studio. So I work at a private personal training studio. So it reduces the number of people that are in the space while we're working together. We'd sit down, have a conversation. I'd want to understand your current physical health. I'd want to understand any historical health issues, any historical injuries, and then understand what are your goals. And generally for the women that I'm working with, they just want to feel better. They want to feel better. They want to move better. They want to be pain-free. Those are generally their goals. There are body composition goals, but generally they just want to feel better in their bodies.
I love that you say heavy weights. I was fascinated because for me, it's always, okay, can I get up to those 7-pound weights when I do my rows and my kickbacks? But you actually believe in heavier weights. Can you explain the
Yes.
benefit of utilizing heavy weights as opposed to the 5 to 7 pound weights?
Absolutely. When we think about building bone density and muscle mass, our bodies are naturally wired for stress. They're naturally wired to receive and handle, from a physical perspective, stress. And so both muscle and bone are built under physical or mechanical stress. So if I pick up my lip gloss here and do a bicep curl with it, that is not going to generate enough force or mechanical tension for my muscle to even recognize that I'm holding something in my hand. It's too light. So the heavier the object is, the better signal we're sending to both our bones and our muscles that we're putting them under mechanical stress and tension, that which will generate muscle breakdown. And for our bones, it will generate what is called osteoblasts. And they're these small blasts that rebuild bones. So we need enough stress for the body to wake up and say, oh, my bicep is actually being utilized. Oh, no. My forearm is actually being utilized. Otherwise, they're kind of just hanging out.
Right.
They're kind of just hanging out. So the heavy stimulus is really key, particularly as we age. So we letting that body part know you need to come to the party.
Yes.
We need you on.
Right. So, but before you can come to the party, you've got to build up to it. So do you start with 5 to 7 pound weights and work up to 12 and then go incrementally up that way? Or do you just start with a heavy weight and do just a few reps of it?
Yeah. So off the back of that assessment, we determine, well, what's a reasonable starting point for you based on your range of motion, based on the way that you moved in the functional movement assessment. For many, it is starting in perhaps body weight or exercises where there's a level of support that's provided by whether it be a TRX or the floor.
Yes.
Starting with likely weights that aren't as heavy. We want to get good technique where it's safe. So build up technique with, you know, lighter dumbbells or resistance bands. And then from there, we start to load you up. And for me, once I can see that my clients are ready, I'm going to load them up. I'm going to start loading them up to what they're capable of lifting.
Okay. So Susie, I have a son and a daughter, and I have a 2.5-year-old little grandson who lives overseas, and another little grandson who's 6 months old who also lives overseas. They were just here. I like to get down on the ground. I'm significantly older than you. I like to get down on the ground, cross-legged, and play with them. And I do. But I have to say, when I was younger, I could get up gracefully. And I noticed that the way I'm getting up from that cross-legged position that I was in a lot in the last couple of weeks was really not that graceful. Does doing weights and doing straight training help you do that lovely getting up, ballet getting up position that tends to elude us as we get older?
Yes, it does. You know, one of the pieces that sits alongside or within strength training and some of the sprint training that you can do, plyometrics, is balance. You know, it's training balance. It's single leg movements. It is allowing the core to engage in single leg positions where, you know, the torso may be closer to the floor, in positions where there may be extension happening. That's a key part of helping you get up from the floor. So it's overall strength of the body, but it's also balance, which we lose as we age because we don't use it.
Right.
Not because it goes naturally, it's because we don't use it. We don't put ourselves in positions where we allow ourselves to balance. So yes, it absolutely would. It absolutely would help.
You mentioned core. Is core part of strength training? Because I always think of it as like strength, cardio, core, three separate entities. Is core part of the strength training process?
Core is the center of strength training. Without a strong core, we're really limited in the range of motion that we can work in and the type of lifting that we can engage in. So absolutely, we, you know, understand core as that central part of the body. So the core, spine, which is included, and our hips. Those are the two body parts that really drive the majority of our movement. So absolutely, yes. See them now as integrated.
Integrated, not as three separate pieces. Like I see them in this triangle. It's all integrated. I also love that you offer as well an online 12-week strength program. And I love that keyword online because people are busy. How does that work exactly, doing this online?
Yeah, so online fitness training boomed during the pandemic as gyms became inaccessible. And we've now figured out this beautiful model where we can connect with people that perhaps might not be in our city, might not have the capacity to attend a studio. So how that works, it mirrors the in-person intake in the sense that we'd sit down, we'd have a conversation, I'd want to perform a health screening, you know, prior injury screening. We would set goals as well. And then I would program for you training that you would complete on your own, in your own time. There are apps that exist now. So I have an app that I use to monitor your progress as you train. Those apps connect through to things like FitWatches as well, so I can see how many steps you're doing a day. With online training, the nutrition coaching is much better integrated because it's integrated through apps as well. So online's a fantastic option for some who are confident to attend and go to the gym themselves.
That's great. I know that you, Susie, get joyful about transforming women. Do you have an example of someone who really impacted you that comes to mind? And what is that like for you to see a person go from A to Z and just transform?
Yeah, it's a wonderful feeling. So what I generally see, particularly, and I'm thinking with one client in mind, when that woman has never lifted weights before, where it's her first time interacting with weights in a gym, is those first few weeks, there's still a lot of apprehension. There's a lot of self-doubt around her capabilities. But week by week, I get to see an incremental increase in her belief in herself. And in this lady's case, it was really embodying a new level of confidence.
You say that muscle is the message. What do you mean by that?
Muscle is the message as it relates to how its presence transfers through to the way that we get to show up in our day-to-day life. You know, my train of thinking, I'm in my late 30s now, and I'm thinking, well, what kind of life do I want to have in 20 years' time? What type of life do I want to have in 30 years' time? And I know to get there, I need to have strong physical infrastructure.
You also say, Susie, that you don't need to be fit first. You don't need to be ready. You just need to begin. Strength is not punishment. It's not vanity. It's infrastructure, the foundation that allows you to show up fully in your life at 50, 60, 70, and beyond. It's never too late to begin. This is very powerful for people to hear, for me to hear, as someone somewhere in there, that it's never too late, because I can walk. I love yoga. I like doing weights, but I have a threshold where I just can't get past that threshold. And I know it's because I haven't really learned how to train properly. So it's exciting to me to hear that it's never too late to begin. Can you elaborate on that?
It's never too late. Strength training is in its nature progressive. And so irrespective of where your starting point may be, we're starting with resistance bands and light dumbbells at home. And then from there, over time, we're going to progress into the gym. You are strength training by taking that path. Someone else's path may be that they're starting with a trainer in a private studio like my clients. The starting point is always accessible. The heart of that message is that there's always an accessible starting point. We don't need you in the gym doing a 200-pound deadlift to start off with. The starting point is wherever your range of motion and your capabilities are now. So strength training is always accessible.
I love that. You're so smart and so well-informed. And I'm going to tell you something. I have about another 25 questions. And what I'm thinking is that I want to have you back on again to talk about so many other things, like some of the must-read books and awesome experts that you champion. There's a question we ask everyone at the end of the show. And of course, we're going to ask it to you. What is bliss for Susie Garia?
What is bliss? So currently, to me, it is chasing my dreams. It's now. It is chasing my dreams right now. It's getting up every day and feeling excited about what's to come. In the future, to me, it's going to be fully living in my purpose with everything that comes along with that. It's going to be having grown my business. It's going to be surrounded by family and the people that I've met along this journey. And it's going to be maintaining a certain level of excitement about this work. It's such an exciting time to be in this space. We're only really, I think, at the beginning of this just boom in transforming how we understand aging and what we need to do as we age. And so it's a really very exciting time to be entering this space. Yeah. So that's my bliss.
It's awesome. What's the best way for people to connect with you?
Sure. Best way to connect with me is via my website, which is www.susiegariafitness.com, one word. And I'm also on Instagram at coach.susiegaria.
Awesome.
And I'm also on LinkedIn as Susan Garia.
That's awesome. Well, it's been an absolute delight to have you on the show today. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Judy.
Don't go anywhere. We're going to go on a short commercial break. We'll be right back in a moment.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by Create, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
Create is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. Create is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, Create is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. Create has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? Create Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about Create Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
Hi, everyone, and we're back. This is Finding Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio. I'm Judy Lee Brack, and to close out the show today, I'm really delighted and honored to introduce you to beloved Canadian actress Janelle Hutcheson and Dora Maver Moore Award winner, director, and producer Leslie Ballantyne, who are here to talk about their exciting up-and-coming show, Well-Seasoned Productions, with A Song in My Heart review, which opens tonight at the Video Cabaret, Deanne Taylor's Theatre at 10 Busy Street in Toronto. So it's opening tonight and it's running until Sunday, May 10th, which of course is Mother's Day. Before we meet these two celebrated Canadian luminaries, let me tell you a little bit more about them. Janelle Hutcheson's career includes more than 1,400 performances of the original Canadian production of Les Misérables as the innkeeper's wife, Madame Thénardier. I was there and I remember it well. On film and TV, she can be seen in the upcoming Young Werther, as well as Handmaid's Tale, Hairspray, the Kennedys miniseries, Being Erica, and she's even a proud survivor of the Saw films. An alumna of the Canadian Film Center, Janelle's script Perfect Drop won Best Achievement in Screenwriting at TMU, and her future screenplay, Water's Edge, received a Jim Burt Prize nomination at the Canadian Screenwriting Awards. After nearly 10 years as the founding administrator for NYU Tisch's new studio on Broadway, which I didn't realize, that's very cool, where she produced more than 70 plays and musicals and was twice nominated for Tisch's Distinguished Administrator of the Year, Janelle returned home to Toronto. She currently serves on the board of Studio 180 Theatre. Janelle Hutcheson, congratulations on all this. So great to have you here finally.
Thank you.
And welcome to Finding Your Bliss.
Thank you so much. This is like a survivor of the arts, you know.
We all have to stick together, right?
That's right.
A wonderful thing. Leslie Ballantyne has spent 40 plus years dazzling audiences within the Canadian entertainment industry and beyond. Her talents have allowed her to work as a director, choreographer, performer, producer, teacher, and arts administrator. Her peripatetic career has taken her all across Canada, parts of the U.S., and as far south as the Bahamas. She is a proud Dora Maver Moore Award winner and past artistic director of the Muskoka Festival Theatre, where she's directed and choreographed many of the festival's main stage and touring productions, many of them original Canadian musicals. She has experienced the joys of both performing, directing, and choreographing shows in a range of theatres from small storefront locations to the National Arts Centre in Ottawa. That's Canada for you right there. Congratulations on all of this and welcome to Finding Your Bliss.
Oh, thank you for having me. That was a delightful introduction. I sort of looked and went, am I old enough to have done all that?
I love it. So well deserved for both of you. So Janelle, I have to begin with you because you and I have been trying to do this for a couple of years
now, haven't we? Yes, we have.
And I'm so glad that we could make it work today. And I do have to tell you, I'll never forget your opening night performance, that opening night gala of Les Misérables in Toronto at Mirvish Productions. I believe it was 1991. And I was there with my television show in the spotlight covering it. And I'll just never forget your spectacular performance as Madame Thénardier in the Canadian premiere, really, of Les Misérables. What are your memories of that very heady experience, bringing that world-class full-scale theatrical musical to Toronto and to Canada.
Yes, it was an extraordinary time, and we all felt so lucky and privileged. I mean, those are words that we sort of bandy about, but it was really true in this case. It was a huge production. We knew we were part of something incredibly special, an all-Canadian production of this extraordinary piece. And then 4 years later, we were still doing it. And I have to say that occasionally I would get called Liz Thénardier. And one of the biggest successes for me was when people would assume that Graham Campbell and I were actually a married couple. And I thought, well, then we've done our jobs, because people believe the relationship in terms of us working together, which we love to do. So it was pretty special.
It's wonderful stuff. And of course, Louise Pitre has been on this show in a beautiful interview, as has Loretta Bailey, who originated the role of Eponine. So yeah, it's great. So you're now part of that wonderful group, and I'm so happy. Leslie Ballantyne, welcome. And it's great to have you here. And I'm so excited to really talk about your show that opens tonight with A Song in My Heart, put on by Well Seasoned Productions, your entertainment production company of professional artists who are 55 plus and really embracing the delights of aging. Can you tell us more about Well Seasoned Productions and about your exciting show that is opening tonight?
Oh, thank you. Well, we'll start with what Well Seasoned Productions is. And it began with coffee meetings with senior artists when we were closing in on 50 plus and wondering, where were our job opportunities disappearing to? Where were the auditions disappearing to? And of course, as Canadian performers, the answer is, well, you have to make your own work. So we settled on an ad hoc committee. We applied for federal funding to the New Horizons for Seniors grant, and we received funding. So we produced three different revues with three different casts at the Aki Theatre here in Toronto, Native Earth, and then said, where do we go from here? And the answer is, continue on. There's a market for seniors performing for seniors, showing that it's okay to get older. One of the questions we always had from performers who had had wonderful careers at Stratford, Shaw, Broadway was, well, I'm heavier than I used to be, or I wear glasses, or I don't do the dance moves that I used to. I have to wear flat shoes. I have arthritis in my feet. And we said, well, let's make accommodations for that, because the general public wears glasses, gets a little heavier with age, may have arthritis in their feet and have to wear sort of comfortable shoes. And that sort of struck a chord with the general public, with our performing cohort of senior artists. And for this show, I'm delighted that I talked Janelle Hutchison into being in the show.
Yes, you did talk me into it. It was great.
I think it just cost a coffee and a muffin or something. And we've continued on. We're hoping as we move along, this is our 10th year of doing this show. And 5 years ago, John McKellar gave us the gift of incorporation as a not-for-profit company. It was just as COVID was hitting, and he did it for us pro bono. And then he said, good, you go after the charitable number. They bought in and gave us a charitable number. So at that point, I thought we now became a real company. Yes. Kind of like Pinocchio, you know, we became a real boy. So we've just carried on. COVID, we went online. We did storytelling with senior artists, many of them at PAL Toronto. And those are all available online. If people want to go to Well Seasoned Productions and look at socially distant but staying connected, there are some really great theater stories.
So when, you know, I think of Dee Dee Petty, who was just on the show to talk about really creating trailblazing talks. In its first couple of seasons, she was the host of this at 80 years old. And it just shows, you know, we talked about Marilyn Lightstone, who's of course been on this program and is a big part of the station. And it's amazing and it's heartening and inspiring to someone who's getting very close to that to see
well,
this.
And you know, we talked about Marilyn Lightstone being in our first launch party. We had sort of a dinner at the Paintbox Bistro, and we invited friends and neighbors, and Marilyn was one of our guest performers, sang The Physician, and just brought the house down, you know, with everybody buying in. And then we went around to the audience and said, is there a market for this? Will people actually come and see senior performers? And generally the answer was yes, this is needed, it's empowering, and as our senior population grows, we want to reflect that it's okay to grow older.
Oh, so great. I know
and we're still vibrant, vital, and relevant.
Absolutely. I'm so excited to see this show and I'm looking so forward to it. I love what you folks are all doing. And I know our audience is loving this. You know, I'm going to have you, both of you, back on for proper full-length interviews. But I'll just say, Leslie, I know you've expressed that you want everyone to leave your shows with a song in their heart, a laugh on their lips, a spring in their step. The repertoire includes Canadian musical theater, Broadway, and popular musical selections, and it features 8 established Canadian musical theater stars. What is the greatest golden nugget that you want people to take away from this production with a song in my heart?
Well, we don't want to give away the whole show, but the aspect of this is that the world requires love. And it requires us to work together. And I read the other day a David Suzuki post when I follow his blog. And David was talking about the need for love, love of environment, love of community, love for our world. And I think in a small way, if performers can promote love of getting older, we can also be a part of love for our community, love for our environment, and love for each other. And I think that's sorely lacking these days in a lot of aspects.
Absolutely. And theater and the arts is the best way to express that and to show the power of love and how love combats everything that isn't love.
And, yes, I agree.
Right. And it's a beautiful vehicle to do it. So all of you, Break a Leg and Merde. Performances begin tonight, May 2nd to May 10th at the Video Cabaret, Deanne Taylor Theatre at 10 Busy Street, one block north of Queen Street East and Logan Avenue. How can people get tickets?
If they go to wellseasonedproductions.ca, our website, there is a direct link to Eventbrite for tickets. It's the easiest way to get there.
There's a question we ask everyone at the end of the show, and of course, we're going to ask it to both of you. I'll begin with you, Leslie. What is bliss for Leslie Valentine?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. Long ago, Judy, Saul Mandelson, the founder of Babe Luer Radio, gifted my husband and me a poem, and it has become my mantra for my whole life. His poem was, "May you always sing when you have the chance to, and never walk to a tune you can dance to." And that's my bliss.
I love that.
That is fabulous. Thank you for sharing that with us. That's just gorgeous. What is bliss these days for Janelle Hutchison?
Well, it's a big question. And I think it is something that we're all continuing to search for. And bliss for me is the opportunity to continue working, to continue doing satisfying creative work, while at the same time having the balance now that I am not 30 anymore, to give time to friends and family and spend time doing that so you really feel grounded in that sense.
So true. I want to thank you both so much, Janelle Hutchison and Leslie Valentine, for being on the show today. Can't wait to see the show and Break Legs, everyone. So excited.
Thanks so much, Judy. Great to speak with you.
Thank you. And come sing along with us.
I'm going to be there for sure. Each week we spotlight fabulous people like Cheryl Sutherland, Susie Garia, Janelle Hutchison, and Leslie Valentine, who are all living their bliss. For those of you who don't know, I'm also the bliss coach. That means I help you get unstuck, gain clarity, and find your passion and purpose. And of course, I'm also available on Insight Timer, the number one free meditation app. All you have to do is search up Judy Liebreich. And of course, you can always follow us at The Bliss Minute on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook. In Bliss News, we're so excited to announce our phenomenal Mother's Day giveaway courtesy of Please Notes Goods and Cheryl Sutherland, featuring a guided gratitude journal, self-care tracker, and some beautiful affirmation pens. If you want to get in on it, all you have to do is follow at The Bliss Minute and Please Notes Goods on Instagram. Just like the post, tag 2 friends. The contest is underway right now and closes on Tuesday, May 5th at 6 p.m. I would love to thank our wonderful guests, Cheryl Sutherland, Susie Garia, Janelle Hutchison, and Leslie Valentine for being on the show today. Also, thank you to Mag Ruffman, Siobhan Kiley, producer Lori Quinn, Olivia Vigiani, audio engineer Juliana Yanciello, senior editor Lauren Kaminsky, video editor Sierra Brown Rodriguez, audio producer Faz Kazi, and everyone here at Zoomer. And of course, a big thank you to our sponsor, the Create Fertility Center. As well, thank you to Garrett Florist for the gorgeous pink roses that adorn our set each week. For everyone here, I'm Judy Liebreich.
reminding you all to take one step closer to finding your bliss.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.